think I'm hooked up and ready here this morning. Yeah, we got bars. Oh, I think we're going across the speaker system. Are we? No? Okay, don't think so. All right, Job chapter 2 this morning. We'll be there in just a minute. We talked about shining like stars in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Shine by how you work. Shine by how you live. And we finished up in a hurry last Sunday with the point, shine by what you say, specifically talking about opportunities for witnessing on the job. And remember, fellas, that you don't have to take somebody all the way through the Romans Road or plan of salvation to witness to somebody verbally. Just one sentence, two sentences, simple answers to simple questions. Why do you go to church? You don't go into a history class on Baptist history, Baptist polity. You don't go into all that. You try to avoid issues that are behavior-oriented. For people who get saved, you try to deal with eternity and sin and Jesus' death on the cross, His burial, His resurrection, the gospel. You try to avoid theological questions, hypothetical propositions. Let me ask you this question. Where did Cain get his wife? And if this happens, why does it? All these hypothetical things, they're usually meaningless, a waste of time and energy. Don't be afraid to say to your coworker, friends, and buddies, I don't know. Better you say, I don't know, give me a couple days to think about this, than to just pop off a half-baked answer and realize that you really didn't deal with it properly. So don't be afraid to say, I don't know. We talked about sharing good books with people. The opportunity to get, they may not read a Bible, but they may read Josh McDowell's book, Evidence Demands a Verdict, or something like that, more than just a carpenter. They might read something. You know, I don't always, you know, promote evangelical books because usually it's like, you know, there's a bunch of stuff in there that's not good. But we're talking about the salvation of somebody's soul here. And if you can get them coming your direction, get them interested by giving them a good book to read, then I would encourage you to do so. You know, you could share Dr. House's philosophy books, Grace and Truth, Strength and Beauty. Sometimes those simple books are enough to pique somebody's interest. So we're talking about here shining by what you say at work, when God gives you the opportunity to speak a word. You know, I'm not promoting cowardly behavior when it comes to witnessing, because there will be those times and places where the Spirit of God will have everything lined up. The person's heart is ready, prepared. You'll have the time and opportunity, and you don't want to dilly-dally, beat around the bush. You want to give them a straightforward, right-to-the-heart gospel presentation and press them to urge and urge them to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Paul said, we persuade men. So don't be a coward. If God got it all lined up, man, jump on it like a tick on a June bug. And don't be afraid to persuade men, okay? That passionate witness. But it's the other times that I'm talking about, the other opportunities, okay? And then I wanted to finish up by saying this on this particular subject. You know, to give a gospel witness without a quality work style, which is shine by how you work, and without a quality lifestyle to back it up, will probably gain you nothing. In fact, it may do more harm than good. Okay? So you got to have that work style in place and that lifestyle in place. Then you get the opportunity to speak a word for Christ as the Lord opens the doors. Okay? Shine like stars. How we work, how we live, and how we talk. Now we come back to Job this morning, where we started 12 weeks ago. 13, 14 weeks ago, we started in the book of Job. Look at chapter 2, verse number 3. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity. There's our subject for the summer. Being real. Holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him, to destroy him without cause. Then you got verse number 9, same chapter. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Wholeness, completeness, put together. This is the thought, the mind, the mentality, the definition of integrity. The root word is integer. That's a term that's used most often concerning numbers. An integer is a whole number as opposed to a fraction. All right? So when the Bible talks about integrity, it's talking about wholeness, completeness, being put together. Let me make two or three observations here from this chapter and get into a little thought to close out with this whole series. A serious time of testing revealed Job's integrity. All right, a serious time. By the time you get to chapter 2, Job has already lost his possessions. His sheep, his camels, his donkeys, his cattle, and his 10 kids. Now remember that in Old Testament days, a man's wealth was measured by his possessions, okay? Basically his flocks and herds. So he's lost everything. He's also lost his 10 children. This is not a small test. This is a severe test. And fellas, the severity of the test reveals the depth of our integrity. If you want to know how deep your integrity is, start looking around at the type of test God brings your way. Does God bring you some difficult tests? You know, for some men, moderate tests reveals a breach in integrity. Okay? And by the way, thank God, you can retake the test. You can correct the breach, build up the character, strengthen your integrity, and pass the test. For other men, it takes no test at all. Just simple inconveniences and troubles that reveal a lack of integrity. We fall apart, okay, at the very minor things in life. But see, the severity of the test reveals the depth of the integrity. Job was a man of great integrity, deep integrity, okay, real soundness. And that's why the test was so severe. Be a man of integrity, but do not be surprised when that integrity is tested, okay? Integrity is tested. Brother, when it's tested, if it's a moderate test that breaks our integrity, we got to shore up, go back, build up again, and be ready for it again. But try to get placed beyond the place of just simple inconveniences and troubles having you fall apart. Okay, don't do that. Number two, let me say this. God was impressed with Job's integrity. Job's depth of integrity did not go without notice by God. It was God who brought the subject of Job's integrity up to Satan. He mentioned it to Satan. He said, by the way, have you seen after you took all his possessions and his kids, he still has retained his integrity. You see, Satan accused Job of having no integrity. Look at chapter 1, verse 9. And this, by the way, that shouldn't surprise us. That's Satan's activity. He's the accuser of the brethren. Okay? He accuses in several ways. He accuses us to God. He accuses God to us. He accuses us to others. And he accuses us to ourselves. They're trying to get you down on yourself, okay? He's an accuser of the brethren. Look at verse number 9. Then Satan, you know, God brings up Job in verse number 8. And then verse number 9, Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him, about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. His substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, bring a little trouble in his life. Touch all that he hath. Bring a test into his life. And he will curse thee to thy face. He'll fall apart. He was accusing, by the way, was there any truth to Satan's accusations? No. There wasn't a lick of truth to Satan's accusations. All right? And be careful when you receive an accusation against a Christian brother or friend. There may not be any truth to that accusation whatsoever. Okay? There was no truth to it. Satan was accusing Job falsely to God. So after God allows Satan to take his possessions and his children, God brags on Job when he meets with Satan again. Said, have you noticed my servant Job? He didn't fall apart. He didn't lose his composure. He's a man of great integrity. You took all his possessions and his 10 children. This is a severe test, but he's retained his integrity. You talk about shining like a star in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Job shone like a star in front of the most crooked and perverse being who ever lived, Satan himself. And brother, the beacon of Job's light shone all the way to heaven, and God commented on it to Satan. That blesses my heart, man. This was a shining star, this man, okay? And by the way, Satan accuses Job again. He says, well, he'll lose his composure if you touch him. When you get personal with his life, he'll lose his composure. And he didn't, okay? God noticed, was impressed. If you let me say that, you know, it's kind of hard for me to understand how God, Almighty God, can be impressed with humanity. But if you can say it, I don't know what better way to say it. God bragged on Job to Satan. He said, have you noticed? He didn't lose his integrity. You were lying, Satan. Then Job's wife was impressed with his integrity. Job's wife was. Now, you know, yeah, she shouldn't have said what she said in verse number 9, curse God and die. But I brought this up in a message not too long ago on the weaker vessel. You know, probably Job's wife was just being a woman. You know, they're not the weaker vessel, as I've said, because of their intellect. They're not the weaker vessel because of their character. They're the weaker vessel because of their emotional makeup. God made them that way. Now, she lives with Job, her husband. She sees him behind closed doors. She is impressed with his level of integrity. She was appalled at the severity of the test. She watched as Job offered a sacrifice every day for his kids, who were grown and married and gone from his home. And Job was offered a sacrifice for him. Why? Because it may be that my children have sinned. She saw all this. She watched the level of character of her husband. She watched as he kept material prosperity in perspective. He didn't get caught up with it. So how do you know that? Because when it was taken away, he didn't fall apart. Fellas, I have no idea. You have no idea where this thing is going in this country. Let me tell you, when God takes His hand off of this place, Katie barred the door. I mean, come on, folks. This is horrible. Okay? These gas prices, if oil stays up, if it's rationed, if there's a shortage, if it's all speculative right now. We don't know where it's all going to go. But if we have to tighten the belt, we should not lose our integrity. Okay? It can't fall apart if we have to part with some of our toys. Some of the luxuries that we've come to accept as normal Christian living, like I said last Sunday. The rest of the world doesn't live like America lives. You talk about the Oswardis sometimes. I mean, the public toilets over there in Russia are still holes in the ground. For the men as well as the women. We've become to expect a certain level of livelihood. People around the world don't have it. Brother, when that starts being taken away from us, we get all pooch-faced and mad and cranky and short-tempered. But Job had everything taken away. This man kept his material prosperity in perspective. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. It all came from him. It's his. He can do what he wants with it. She watched as he lived a life that was upright, fearing God and eschewing evil. Is it any wonder that at the height or depth of his test, she said, "Why don't you just curse God? I don't know how you're making it." That's what she said. "You've not fallen apart. You've not lost your composure. I don't know how you're making it, Job." And still praising God, "Why don't you curse God?" Now, you know what? Every man wants to be held in high esteem by his wife. He was held in high esteem by her. I really believe that. Okay? I mean, you know, people other places can be kicking you, but if you come home to a woman who admires you, the other stuff you can take in stride. Amen? That's truth. That's true. So, here you go. You got a serious time of testing, Job. A serious time of testing revealed his integrity. God was impressed with his integrity. Job's wife was impressed with his integrity. Why then did Job go through such a time of testing? If he was such a man of such incredible integrity that God was impressed with it, his wife was impressed with it, why go through such a test? If you read the entire book of Job, you might get a little glimpse of what probably happened. It could be that Job got impressed with Job. It just very well could be that Job got impressed with Job. Look at Job chapter 29. Look at chapter 29 here. This is an interesting chapter because Job's going to talk about his life prior to the test. Job 29. And it won't take me just a minute here because these are short verses, but I want you to see it. Sometimes we read the Bible so quickly, and Job, I wouldn't guess, is one of the most often read books in the Bible, unless you're on a schedule to read through every year. You know, you don't hand a new convert a Bible and say, "Hey, start in the book of Job." You know, look what he said in verse 1. "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, 'Oh, that I were as in months past before the trial, as in the days when God preserved me, when His candle shined upon my head, and when by His light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up.'" Job said, "When I walked out, the young men were in awe, and so were the aged men. They stood up and paid me reverence." Verse 9, "The princes refrained talking, laid their hand on their mouth. When E.F. Hutton speaks," what? Everybody listens. E.F. Job here. The nobles held their peace. Their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. When the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. It sounds like he might have received some inheritance from people. Maybe they left him in charge of their affairs. I'm not sure what that the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. Or God bless Job. May the light that shined on me shine on this brother. I don't know. But he was well thought of. Verse 14. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. In other words, it was precious. I was eyes to the blind. Feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor. And the cause which I knew not, I searched out. I break the jaws of the wicked, pluck the spoil out of his teeth. Then I said, verse 18, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. Whoa! What a statement. It's a little bit like that fool in Luke chapter 12. Who said, I have much goods laid up for many years. I'll take salt, say to my soul, take thine ease. I'll eat, drink, and be merry. I'll die right here in my nest with all this stuff, all this that I am. See, and he sounds a little bit like that rich fool in Luke chapter 12. And God dealt with Job's pride. Job got impressed with Job. And you say, what do you mean? I'm saying the potential is within each one of us to become impressed with ourselves. It really is. You see, I'm talking to a group of men here who are not just novices at life. Many of you are older than me, in fact, and you can get to the place where you look back on your life and you see where God brought a test in and you passed it. You see where there was an opportunity to compromise your integrity and you didn't compromise. You see where you've built a good testimony like Job. You've survived and you've maintained your composure and you've maintained your integrity. And you've never compromised your morals, at least since you've been saved. And you've got a string of successes, spiritually speaking, and victories behind you. And fellas, if we're not careful, we got to be careful to remember where all of that comes from. It all comes from Him. Every bit of it does. It's possible to look back and see, you know, where we survived things, but we must remember that it was only by God's grace that we survived with our character, our integrity intact. I wrote this little statement, the devil is slick. Having failed to lure us into compromise, he leads us into pride. That's not good either. So having failed in his attempt to lure us into compromise, he leads us into pride. And the truth of the matter is, it may be an easier task leading us into pride than it is to lure us into compromise. Because our guard is up. And we're watchful on this compromise issue with the opposite gender, with somebody other than our wife. Our character, we're on guard all the time about that. And so it's easier for Satan to lure us into pride than it is to lead us into pride than it is to lure us into compromise. We've got to be careful. Job got impressed with himself. I don't think I'll just die in this nest right here. Everything's going good for me. It's all working out great. Kids are all doing well. I'll just die like this. Boy, God dealt with Job. Look at chapter 42. Chapter 42, which is the last chapter in the book. Over in Job chapter 42. He said, actually, verse number chapter 40, let me say that. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, well, actually, I'm getting just a tad bit ahead of myself because I'm trying to finish in 5 minutes. You know how Job's four friends came and talked with him? That ends in chapter 37. Chapter 38, God begins to speak. And chapters 38, 39, 40, 41, and 42, God asked Job 83 questions. I counted them up the other day. 83. Where were you? What were you doing? How did I do this? What do you know about this? Bang, 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 bang. 83 questions. You know how many of them Job had the answer to? None. He says in chapter 40 and verse number 1, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Look at chapter 42 and verse number 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Job said, I talked over my head. I talked about things knowledgeably about which I had no knowledge. See, Job's problem was pride. He got impressed with himself. He got built up with himself. And beginning in chapter 38, God just cut that guy down till he was nothing. And finally, you get to chapter 42 and verse number 6. Look at what he said. Verse number 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Fellas, look. God blesses us to walk in integrity in spite of us, not because of us. We must keep that in perspective. He comes down to us. It is impossible for us to ascend to be like God. That was what Satan said. I will be like the Most High. There's nobody like the Most High. No human is like Him. If God does a work of grace in our heart and blesses us, it's not because of us. It's in spite of us. If our integrity, our character remains intact, it's not because we're so strong. It's because He's so gracious. And if we get some years behind us of passing these tests, getting through these situations where our morality, our character is tempted to be compromised, and we come through that with sailing color, flying through it with wonderful testimony, we can never get caught up with the idea that, look at me. Look what I've done. Boy, I've got to get God working the other direction real quick. Got to watch out for that. God asked Job a total of 83 questions that literally humiliate Job into realizing how small he is. So I say this, let's work and pray to develop integrity and ethics in our character. Let's be serious about shining as stars in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. But as God develops these elements of character in us, we must remember it is God working in us. There's nothing good in our flesh. Nothing. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I don't think there's a man up here that can hang on to his coattails. Paul said, there's nothing good in me. It's God working in us. If we were left to ourselves in this endeavor, we would all fail miserably. Every one of us would. What is more ethical than giving honor to whom honor is due? If God has blessed you, if God has blessed us in spite of us, we better be mindful to give Him the glory every day that we live. If I get through today without compromising my character, my moral, my ethics, to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. It's not because Terry Angel is so strong or so wise or so smart. When we get puffed up and start talking above ourselves, we're in line for a little whooping. That's exactly what God did to Job. Because Job got impressed with his own integrity. Let's be careful. Amen. All right, fellas. I've enjoyed it. God bless you. Enjoyed having some of you men in the class that are usually in other classes. I've enjoyed having your fellowship and friendship. And I don't think it's not going to end, but it's going to end as far as the class goes. Amen.